Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Super Carlin Brothers is sponsored by Nude. Y'all, of course, know about my podcasting and YouTube endeavors, and you may even know that I do some aquarium maintenance at times, but you may not be aware that my wife, Alice, and I also own a business together called Nude. I know it's a funny name, but there's actually a fun story behind it. See, Alice has always had a deep love for clothing and fashion, but even more so for thrifting. It was her way to sustainably and economically expand her wardrobe while still aiming for quality brands that would last. And she is really good at it. Like, I can't tell you the number of times over the years that she has been stopped by people admiring her finds. So much so that she coined a phrase for her response. Thanks, it's nude. As in new, but in the past tense, because it's not exactly new, it's nude. So, we took this concept and created a storefront not 100 yards from where Super Carlin Brothers was created and have an online shop featuring pre-loved clothing from brands like Lululemon, Free People, Anthropologie, Madewell, and so many more. If you'd like to check it out for yourself to ring in the nude year, if you will, you can do so at nudesalem.com and use promo code SUPER to get 20% off your entire order. That's NEWDSalem.com, promo code SUPER for 20% off. Let's talk about Bast. What do you think Bast's motivations are? Why is he at the Waystone Inn? When does he meet Coat? Does he meet Coat when he's Quoth? Why does he look up to Quoth? Does he need Quoth to do something important? Why does he refer to him as Reshi or Master?
I think Bast is probably just Cinder.
You think Bast is Cinder?
I think Bast is probably Cinder in some way. I mean, he can obviously conceal his appearance. Like, and if he's one of the Chandrian, he's probably exceptionally good at it. We've even seen him do it before when he is the commander at the military encampment that Quoth takes down. So it could be like one of those things where it's like the glamoury is fading off of him and you see his hooves, but it's actually like two layers. It's like a deception inside of a deception.
Oh, like you think he's like a satyr?
I don't think he's a satyr.
Okay.
I think that is also a deception.
That is the deception. Now, that would be very interesting because usually satyrs are the ones who like help build up heroes, right?
I mean, I guess that's like what happens in Narnia.
And Hercules.
And Hercules, yeah.
Phil!
All right, Ben. All right. I have a quick lottery before we begin here. There are 5 cards here. I just need you to pick one. We are looking for either Froakie or Alakazam.
Okay, I'm thinking, can I touch
you
it?
You can just touch
okay,
it.
Okay, ready? Ready?
Yeah.
Beep.
Boop.
Okay.
It was Froakie!
Froakie!
We did it! Hooray! Look at that. Good job, Ben.
Thanks.
I mean, we could have gotten the other one. The Alakazam was sort of like the hyper rare one. It looked like that. Boom. I don't know if you can see it.
Oh, I can see it. Do you have Slowpoke as your thumbnail?
Nope, that's someone else's. But that would have been like the big illustrator rare, but I need the Froakie to like make a deck. So that also worked out pretty good.
Good. Yeah. I'm glad we had 2 options.
I know. Yeah. I was like, you know what? It's worth it because I have a 40% instead of a 20%.
There you go. I love it. Yeah. I love it.
You know what? Who has like 100% pick rate? Is like Luke.
Luke?
Luke has got the hot hand on the little Wonder Pit game.
Luke William is just like,
he's like, easy. I got it every time. I'm like, Luke, you picked the Mewtwo.
This is like when we go to the football games and they do the thing where like they put like the football or the helmet underneath like a cup and then they like spin it around. And it's like, okay, I've got it like left, right, middle, left, right, middle, left, right, middle, whatever. Okay. And then at some point in time, they'll do this like convergence thing. And I'm like, well, now you can't know, but you always know.
I always know.
You always know.
I'm good at following it.
Yes.
I'm good at the shell game.
You know that you're good at the shell game.
I do. Yeah. I'm good at the shell game.
Like, when they all come together, how do you know which one's which?
You can still see, like, what order they're in. I mean.
Okay.
Yeah, I think. Because in order to come into the line, they all have to assume a certain size to create the perception of being in that line.
Uh-huh.
So, like, the one in front will be a little bit bigger, and then a little smaller, and then a little smaller. So, you have to watch the size of them as they exit.
Oh.
And then whatever is like, whatever it was going in, that's what it'll obviously be when it comes out too.
I got you.
So there you go. That's my, I guess my off the, I never think about it that hard. I'm just sort of following it.
Oh, well, every single time I'm like, well, I know Jay will get it without fail.
If only I could be that guy they were talking to on the microphone. That's like, all right, it's time to play.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, or the person they're talking to, I mean.
Oh, right, yeah.
But also, if I could be the guy walking around using the microphone, I think I'd be better than the people that are doing it presently, because I don't ever feel like they're very good at it.
Yeah.
Sometimes. I don't want to throw shade at everyone who does.
Literally all people who've ever done sports marketing at every event ever.
At every event ever.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Okay. What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
That's me, Ben. It's been a very interesting Christmas season so far.
It most certainly has. In fact, I feel like we just weekend after weekend for what feels like the past like 6 weeks.
More than that, even. More than, I don't know.
10 weeks.
Yeah.
And then I think tour probably was somewhere at the other end of that 10 weeks.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like there's been like a dull moment.
It does not feel like that way. We've been very busy all of the time.
Yeah. So this past weekend, though, in particular, you and I, set out on an endeavor, which I was impressed that you kept your mind to.
I did. Yeah. Well, you know, when I set my mind to something, I, you know, sometimes can accomplish it.
60% of the time it works every time.
Yeah. So for the longest time, Beth has expressed her desire to own a piano.
A piano.
Yeah. Like she desperately wants to like be a piano player. And like my response has always been like, well, like you, like we have a keyboard. Like she has a pretty nice keyboard, like from when she was in high school that we still have, that still works, that Luke will even occasionally get out and just, you know, start hitting notes and
just
stuff
jam
like
on
that.
It,
just
yeah.
jam on it. But it's like, good. I'm like, well, like, you know, if you like, you know, getting a piano is a massive investment in two directions. One, they're typically quite expensive. And two, they're typically quite huge.
Yeah, quite. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You really need like, you need a specific space for them in order to like figure out how it's going to be integrated. And then if it's not, then you're stuck with this thing that you really can't move.
You really can't move. And it's like, you know, I guess at the very least, you might have like a nice looking piece of furniture because pianos like do typically look quite nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But like, you know, do I want to take up a giant square footage section of my house with the piano if no one's going to play it?
Right.
Or anything. And it's like, you know, like, so to me, I've always been like, well, if you like, you know, went on YouTube or you just, you know, tried to like self-teach yourself on the keyboard to the point where you were like, I really have outgrown the keyboard or like, you know. Like there's some interest, like maybe I could be talked into getting a bigger instrument, but it's not like buying a clarinet where we can just put it in the closet if you don't like it, you know?
Right. Yeah.
It's going to be huge.
Dude, this is like, it's kind of an underlying curiosity that I have, or maybe it's just something where I'm impressed with humanity at large, or maybe everybody is like, haha, as if this is how it always works out. But like when it comes to like big investment type actions like this, like you take your hot tub for example,
yeah,
like that you've long desired. It's the type of thing where it's like you can like the idea of having something like this. People are like that with like treadmills, I feel like, quite often.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, maybe if I have a treadmill and it's in my house and I can like turn on the TV, like, you know, I'll get like a lot more active, and like boom bam, look at that, like fitness happened. And then I feel like treadmills are like famous for kind of being one of those things that like you buy, you're enthusiastic about for like the first couple months, and then it sort of like collects dust in the corner, and then also hard to move
because big time. Yeah,
right. And then hot tub, same thing. It's like you have to have special, you know, electricity, you have to have like a concrete pad poured for it, you know, getting it there itself is like a big thing. Once it's there, it's going to be hard to move
ever
out.
Again, there's a certain amount of like ongoing maintenance in terms of, you know, making sure you're draining it for the winter or keeping the water clean while you're using it and stuff
right.
like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then the big thing too is like, if you were to get one, like how many nights a week are you in it? How many nights a week do you need to be in it in order to justify having purchased it? Like, does this live rent-free in the back of your mind? Or is this the kind of thing where it's just sort of like you know that you wanted it badly enough that it's like when you're enjoying it enough to have justified the occasion. So I
know. And then I'm like, I'm sure it is not good for like your energy bill. And it's like probably not like you just turn it on and it's hot. Like you have to sort of like keeping it on.
Yeah, either keeping it on or planning for or planning, it to be
like,
on.
Like tonight we'll use it. So turn it on this morning or something.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know exactly like what that ramp up looks like, but
I don't either.
Something of the sort. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it feels like in 2024, you'd probably have like energy efficient hot tubs of some kind or something. I don't know.
I'm sure they're better.
I'm sure that, well, I bet they're better on your bill. I bet they're worse at heating water.
Maybe that's also the case. Maybe that's also the case. I feel like when I bought my boat, it has like this big shiny sticker on the side that says that it's like as eco-friendly as a boat is capable of being. And yet every time I have to go and put fuel in it, I'm like, if this is good, then what was bad?
Right. boats. Similar thing, honestly.
Yeah, similar thing, yes.
Giant, big thing. How, like, you know, if we take it out once a year, was that worth it?
right, yes. Yeah. So, and you're exactly right. Like, that was the one for me where, like, it was almost nice that I had, like, the training wheel situation of having one, like, passed down to me where I could sort of, like, cut my teeth on learning some of the basics of it and getting out there in, like, a low-stakes environment before finally, like, taking the plunge, then being like, okay, now we gotta use this, like, every weekend.
Yeah.
But piano feels like it could sit in a similar column because the kind of fascinating thing about pianos is that they are very expensive and very heavy.
Yeah.
And the end result of this is that many people will give away pianos if it means that they can have it exit their house.
Yeah.
Not their responsibility.
Not their responsibility, right. Just like get it out of here.
Right. Yeah. Which is, I to the best of my knowledge, what you encountered over this past weekend.
Yeah, well, so I was actually I've had the idea for a while, like for a long time, I've been like, no, I don't want a piano because like we don't have anywhere to put it. But like we have like gotten through enough of like the baby stages and stuff that enough like large pieces of baby furniture have left the house and stuff that like some space had cleared up.
Okay.
You know, so there we have a location that I was like, okay, that's where it could go. I think that's roughly the size that we would need, and that's not a problem.
Okay.
That'll look good in there. It goes with everything else in there. That's fine. And I'm just talking about like an upright piano, not like a grand piano, of which I definitely don't have room for.
Right.
Lest someone in my family becomes extremely good at the piano and I'm like, this is the piano room now. That's it.
This room has a rug and a piano.
A rug and a piano. And you know what? If someone was good enough to justify such things, I'd be totally okay with that. But as it were, I'd like come around on the idea like, okay. Beth says, like, the reason she doesn't want to play on the keyboard is like, she's like, it's just not the same. It's not the same. And I'm just like, how is it not the same?
Well,
it's keys, you know.
It has blown my mind. Though, for real, like, since you've brought up doing this, the number of conversations I've had and everybody's individual relationship with a piano, which, like, talk about 6 degrees of separation from, like, Kevin Bacon. There's, like, no degrees of separation from people and piano experiences.
Right.
Like, everyone seems to have some, whether it was, like, a family member, whether it was themselves, whether it was piano lessons, everybody seems to have some relationship with the piano, but it does seem like everybody comes back to, like, there is nothing like getting to play, like, a proper piano.
Right.
Like the experience of it. And, I mean, I wonder if this is, like, comparable, you know, like, me and you ride bikes, but, like, sitting in my basement on a stationary bike versus being out in the woods on the trails.
Yeah.
Like, these are literally non-comparable experiences.
Yes, I agree with that. And I think that's probably the same difference. I think that is such an obvious one. It's like, you're sitting in your home, not moving. You're in the woods experiencing nature. This is like, I could set a keyboard on a desk exactly where I would put a piano.
Yes,
you know,
right.
And you could sit in the same room and move your fingers in the same way. And
and like, make the same sound. Make
what, but, yeah, roughly the same sound. But you know, Beth, not the same. And as I've talked to more people, it's not the same.
It seems universally agreed upon. And, like, and we've had, you know, here in office, like clicky keyboards and stuff like that for writing and all that. So like, I can kind of understand, like, you know, having something that's got like nice, like, you know, button press feel and a good sound.
I know. Even like, this is going to sound, this is not a great comparison, but like, you know, even to like trading card games, a lot of people, you know, they don't want to like one of the problems people will encounter is like, how do I play test? Do I know if I want to buy this card?
Okay.
Like, am I going to buy it and then not use it and then feel dumb for having bought it? But like, how do I know if it's going to be good unless I can play with it? So now you have like online play and stuff, which is like solves a lot of that.
Yep.
But for a long time, what people would do is just make like proxy cards, like literally print out a picture, like glue it to the back of an existing card, put it in a sleeve, and just play with proxies
as a way
to test it. Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like a tremendous amount of effort, but I suppose if just what you're doing is testing, then good enough. But like, to me, I always could have made proxies and I was like, it's not the same.
It's not the same. No, yeah.
Not the same. It's not going to feel the same in the card sleeve. You know, it's like, I'm going to know it's that. I don't know. Is it not the same?
I can understand your logic completely. I don't think you're totally off base. I think it's a good comparison.
Okay. Well, yeah. There we go. That's like my own personal thing. So Beth said it wasn't the same. So I was like, okay. And then I was in therapy last week and I was telling my therapist about this and she was like, I mean, you can probably find like free ones on like Facebook or like Craigslist or something. And she literally got her phone out and in like 10 seconds was like, look, I found one on Craigslist. And I was like, oh, really?
That's amazing.
Look at that. Because this is sort of like what I had told myself. Like, I bet I could find a free one on Facebook, but I hadn't actually investigated it or anything like that. Or like, I don't know how much I'd have been willing to spend. But there was one on Craigslist and I was like, well, that's cool. And that one looked kind of nice. And then when I got back to the office, I went on Facebook and I looked up and there was like one that was even closer and looked like newer and looked like it was in like kept in like maybe a more modern upkept home.
Sure.
So it's like, yeah, this one looks a little nicer. It's closer. Cool. I think let me reach out to this person. And I kind of felt like, but then the other thing is if it's free, you kind of feel like you have to act fast because anyone else might be trying to jump on this.
True. Yeah. Quickly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's the big question though, is like, you know, how, even at the price tag of free, how capable is anybody of mobilizing to go get one? Because
exactly,
this was the other thing that like when we started to have this conversation, people kept talking about like just how heavy pianos are. And like, I come from such a background in moving aquariums.
Yeah.
That I'm like, listen, I know how to move heavy stuff. Okay. Like, you know, it's like,
right,
I've moved my fair share of large glass boxes.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh no. Okay. These are heavy, like very, very heavy and
yeah,
not shaped in such a way that makes them conducive to just like hoisting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always the problem. And then, on the first listing I found that, that my therapist had showed me, like part of the thing was like free to anyone who can come move it and will do a good job moving it, like kind of like not like we're not willing to like we're giving it away for free, but it is important to us that like it goes to a good home kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
You know?
I don't know if I knew that detail, but that's good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that was the first one. So then I was like, oh, is this going to be like the trend that like you have to come move it, but like even just being able to move it won't be the problem. You have to be able to like properly move it because the person is going to have an emotional attachment to their piano almost no matter what.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I mean,
whereas like
sense.
To me, it's like you just want to get rid of it or else you'd be selling it.
Right.
Like if I come in and break it and then clear out the debris, that's the same result to you either way.
You right. Know? Right. You know, I actually had a very similar experience along the way where Alice and I bought a camper.
Yeah.
And I say similar, almost the opposite mentality, where like this in my household is famously like, or infamously like the worst financial investment I've ever made.
Mm.
Like we were I think me and Allie, you know, was like, we're so excited. We had just started dating. Like we kept going to the parking lots on the weekend and like touring these things. We're having so much fun with it. And I just bought a new truck and I was like, oh, this will be great. Like we got a truck that can pull it and it's big and it's cozy. And like, you know, we'll bring it to all these cool places and like, we'll join RV culture and camping,
right,
and you know, blah, like, you know,
yeah,
amazing.
We'll do it.
I love this. And basically it was so big and so cumbersome that it was just basically like in the driveway all the time. And we really didn't end up using it that much. And then it started having like problems and you're just like, oh my God, this is such like a headache. Like, you know, we don't want to deal with it. And then we had Addy on the way and it was like very important to us to get like our driveway back so that like we could park Alice's car in the driveway so that like,
you're not loading the baby into the car
on
the middle
street
of the road. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like a week. I mean, I think it was literally October 20th when Addie was born 6 days later.
Wow.
That this person, they come and seen it like three different times and, you know, they were buying it because they were retired and it was like the perfect, like, you know, thing for them. And I mean, literally, like, I remember them driving out of the driveway and like in my mind, it wasn't gone until like it was out of sight.
Right.
I like chased it down the street.
Yeah.
To like watch it like turn the corner and like be gone, gone. And right. I like walked back and like sat down in my driveway and was just like tears were just like coming out of my eyes. I'm like,
it's gone.
It's gone. Like, thank goodness. It's gone. Like, I made a problem. I solved the problem.
Yay.
took me like 5 years, but I did it.
And oh my gosh.
So that was my version of seeing the thing leave and being like, okay. It's gone for good. I never have to deal with it again.
Yeah. So I don't know if that would have been a problem all the way. And it, for what it's worth, I didn't even go for that piano, which like, I felt a little bad because I emailed that guy like pretty quickly and I was like, how available are you? You know, I could maybe be available tomorrow to come get it if you're, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Or whatever. And then I was like, oh crap, do I have to sit here and wait for this guy to get back to me before I reach out to anybody else? Like maybe I should, you know, do I owe it to this guy? And then I quickly talked myself out of that. I was like, what? No, absolutely don't. What are we talking about?
Right.
If I just say I wanted this piano and now I don't, that makes no difference.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I reached out to the other person who was much closer to me. And they were like, yeah, come on down. We'll see it later today. So me and you trekked out to go inspect the piano.
Yep.
You brought these cool lifting straps. Because I think in our mind, we were like, we think we know how heavy a piano is. Like, we think it's pretty heavy, but like, maybe we can both do it. Like, we're pretty strong.
That was like what's basically going through my head. And then similarly, like I use these like really large suction cups.
Yeah.
And that's what I used to move large aquariums because they're like a perfectly like flat surface. So it's sort of this like incredible thing because the big glass box is so hard to carry, but then you can literally like suction cup a handle onto the side and then it becomes way more manageable.
Right.
Especially if you have multiple people.
Right.
And so I was like, well, maybe the side will be smooth enough.
Yeah.
To adhere.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, it wasn't.
It was not. Yeah, it was not.
Wood is more porous than glass, as it turns out.
Yeah.
But yeah, then we had the moving straps and it was sort of like, you know, run the strap under the bottom of it and you've got these big like shoulder.
It's like a harness.
Yeah. And you've got like this big thing, you know, right through the middle. And then you just like, you basically go from like a
mid squat position.
And then like when you stand, the strap comes up with you.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay. But even doing that, it was like, boo!
Yeah, it was a heavy guy. Like, we got it off the ground enough to, like, roll, like, a little dolly underneath it. But then it was like, but how are we going to get it on the truck? Like, there's no way we can lift it onto, like, the bed of the truck.
No way.
Yeah.
No way. I mean, that would be, like, 3 feet in the air.
Yeah, 3 feet in the air. Like, we didn't, yeah.
Getting it, like, 4 inches off the ground was about as much as
about as far as we could do. And then even, like, walking like that was going to be a challenge.
Yes.
Yeah. So we decided we needed to come back the next day, but we looked at it. It looked pretty good. I mean, I don't know. I'm not musically gifted almost at all. So if it was like out of tune or whatever, it was like, maybe whatever. We'll fix that later.
Right. Yeah. That's a problem for a different day.
That's a problem for a different day. Right now I have free piano right here. So let's get going. So I had to then rally a bunch of troops the next day to come help me and you do it.
Yes.
Yeah. So we got our buddy, Big Steve. To come out and join us, and one of my neighbors, Brandon, who's a real big guy.
Yes.
Real big guy. I'm glad Brandon came.
I know. Yeah.
It was like, very helpful.
That makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Very strong.
Very strong guy. So that was good. Yeah. I said me and Ben couldn't lift and walk. He was lifting it like, yeah, okay. Yeah, we're good. We're fine. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Like, I'm like, my face is all distorted. I'm looking over at Brandon. He's just smiling
he's
at
just
me.
Like, hey, like, well, you good, man?
Totally.
Yeah. It's fine. Let's walk. Let's move. So we got out there the next day. We had 4 people. That turned out to be enough for this particular piano. We got it on the dolly. You had rented like a tiny little U-Haul trailer.
Yeah. Which was kind of fun. Like this, I mean, I've seen them everywhere, you know, like when you're just like driving down the road and stuff like that. But
yeah,
it was like, I've never gone and just like rented one before. And it was $14. I was like, for real?
For real?
Like, to buy a utility trailer new, I think is like, maybe like, I mean, for like a entry level one, like $1,500 to like $2,000. And I've debated on buying one on so many different occasions for specifically reasons like this one,
yeah.
where it's just like people need to move couches, people need to, you know, do things, buy lumber, whatever. Like I have no idea. Like, you know, I'm like, it'd be good to have one. And then I was like, dude, $14? Like I will just go rent one from U-Haul every time.
Every
like,
time.
That was so
easy.
I know.
I couldn't believe it. I'm like, you can't even buy like a sandwich, you know, from the bakery,
dude,
for $15.
Yes. On my way there, I needed to eat lunch. So I went through a drive through and it was $11 for my drive through
right.
lunch.
Right.
And $14 for the trailer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This is okay.
So, yeah. We got the trailer.
Yeah.
We loaded the piano onto it. We strapped it down and then we're like watching you drive. And I'm like, if anything seems like it could be worse for a giant heavy thing that has like sensitive musical equipment inside of it, I'm like, the vibrations on the back of her trailer seem like it could like mess with it or something.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Like once it's back there, then it's like, you don't want to hit like every single like pothole or, you know, like,
I know,
you know, yeah. Like, I don't know. What am I trying to think? Like runoff type area where like, you know, rainwater is supposed to go, like everything. You can like hear the trailer back. They're like, good on.
Oh no.
Yikes.
Oh, don't break the piano. That'd be bad. But fortunately they were so near to the house that it wasn't, it was like a mile drive or something, maybe 2 miles.
Not bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Not bad at all. And we got up to the house and I was like, so as I had like decided to do this, I was like trying to work out in my brain, like, how can I get the, cause this is going to be Beth's Christmas gift. If you couldn't tell based on the time of year, or maybe if you're listening in the future, this is like, I'm going to get the piano. It's going to be the Christmas gift. That's going to be awesome. Like, how can I arrange it so that, you know, it can be like a surprise on Christmas morning.
Yes.
You know,
that's best case scenario.
That's best case scenario. Like, you're like, you know, giant big gift you didn't see coming. And I'm like, well, like we often like we'll open gifts at my house and then we'll go over to mom and dad's. And I'm like, I can probably store the piano in like mom and dad's garage or something so that, you know, we can finish Christmas at our house. And then we'll go over there and I'll be like, guess what? One more thing.
Right.
And we'll go down there. And that seemed pretty doable. And I do think we could have done that if we had wanted to.
Sure.
However, it was such an amount of effort to assemble a whole group of people to move it in the first place and like go rent a trailer and stuff that I was like, well, I could do that. But then to get it back to our house, I'm going to have to reassemble everybody on a later date and come do this whole rigmarole again. So, but then I was like, well, then the only other option though is then to just bring it home right now. But if I do that, I can't hide it. And even if I wanted to, like, even if I could kid myself into thinking like, maybe I could put it in the garage and she just won't notice, you know.
That was the only thing that kept going through my head, is I was like, how often does Beth go to the garage for anything? Like, if we just like put it like in the far corner and like threw a thing over it,
yeah,
like piled some boxes in front of it or
right,
something.
Like, is she gonna notice it? But that, even that is the same problem of I still gotta get everybody
to move it into your house,
to move it from the garage to the house. Like, it's so heavy. So even that didn't seem feasible, but I was like, you know what? Even if I just go bring it to her right now, that's really going to be a surprise,
because
she is really not going to see that coming. Because what I told her was that I had to go help you move a fish tank.
Yeah.
Which she just did not question for even 1 second the number of times that I've had to go do it. She was like, oh, okay.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
I know, yeah. It's like, yep, that tracks.
Yeah, that tracks. Yeah, Ben has to go get a fish tank. That's great. She's like, guess that's my afternoon done.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
But so yeah, we back it in, and as luck would have it, like, Luke and Nick and Nate are just like outside playing as we're backing in, and they're seeing, you know, all four cars drive up to the house and you're backing in a trailer. And I'm like, what's that? And I'm like, that's mommy's Christmas gift. I'm going to give it to her right now. Like, it's too big to hide, so we got to do it right now. And Luke, like, as you've been driving, like the covers we put on it had been like whipped away in the wind,
right,
or whatever. And Luke is like, oh, I think I know what it is. It's a piano. And I'm like, do not say it out loud. Like, just be quiet. Just wait until, like, I'm gonna go inside and get mommy. We're gonna bring it out here and surprise her. Okay, like, do not say what it is. He's like, okay, I won't say. I'm like, just don't say it. Be quiet. Do not, you know.
Yes.
I'm like, I don't trust you at all to not say what it is. All three of you listen up. I've gotten this close.
Boys.
Boys. Listen. Do not say what it is.
I know. I was having flashbacks to when we were kids and dad was doing this like expedition thing in Canada and mom had gone to buy him like a puppy.
A dog, yeah.
Yeah. So he would like come home to like a new yellow lab.
Yes.
And she was on the phone with him because I think it was like pre-cell phone days.
Yeah.
She was on the phone with him like a pay phone or something in Canada.
Right.
And I was like, we got a puppy. Totally ruined it.
I know.
My bad, Dad. I'm sorry.
I know. And
Mom.
Yeah, and Mom. Yeah. You know, I'm sure that moment was still surprising for him, though.
I bet so.
Yeah. Like, wait, what? What was that? Huh?
Yeah. A puppy. I'm coming home now.
I'm coming. Yeah. Hold on. So you guys are like taking all the straps off and taking all the covers off while I go inside to get Beth, and I'm like, okay, I lied. I got you. You know, I had to go get your Christmas gift right now, but it's too big for me to hide. So we're doing it right now. And she's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, sorry. So close your eyes and like, I'll like walk you out here. And all the boys are just like around me. And I'm like, boys, be quiet.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Guys, seriously. Like, all I got to do is walk her like, because I ran into her like at the door, basically.
Oh my gosh.
You know, so I'm like, I just got to get you from the door outside to where we're at. And so we go and they're like, we're not going to say it. And then I'm like walking her out there and her eyes are closed and I'm like guiding her over to where it is. And the boys just like jump up on the trailer and they like start hitting the keys.
Oh my gosh.
Like, guys, like, we didn't say it. I'm like,
it's like, bum, 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 bum.
And she's like, oh, I think I know what it is. And I'm like, oh man. So either way, not that like ruins the surprise or anything.
I know.
I'm not sure. You know, it's just like she heard it before she saw it.
It's so interesting because you're right. Like a really well executed surprise. Like it's surprising no matter what. It was surprising that you needed to, you know, air quotes, help me move an aquarium on Saturday.
Yeah.
And it was a surprise that, if we weren't moving an aquarium, we were getting your gift instead.
Yeah.
Also surprise, it's here right now. Also surprise, I'm gonna go show it to you.
Yeah. Like, and it's a piano.
Yes. But it's like the comedic timing of telling a joke where it's like, you know, somebody can like set you up and if you get it like right off the cuff, like boom bam, hilarious.
Right.
Right at once. You know, it's like, oh, that was so funny. Like, you know, then it can like really land. But if it's like 20 minutes later, it's like, hey, say the thing again. Say the thing again. Okay. Yeah. Okay. In this, and it's like, oh yeah, that's okay. Like,
that wasn't the same.
Yeah, it's like it's funny because jokes, in their perfect form, it's all timing.
Yeah,
like that is what makes it so funny.
I know, and I felt like I was so like not that it was like not that she was like, you know, less excited because she heard it 1 second before she opened her eyes or anything.
Right,
but I did feel like it was so close to being like a. You know,
I know,
big
I know.
Reveal moment. Yeah, and I was like, who, like, what, guys, come on. Like, could you not wait 2 more seconds? But that was okay. So then we had to unload it on the trailer, get it in the house, and it fit exactly into the space I wanted it to go. It was like the exact right dimensions and
it
everything. Really,
it was great.
Yeah.
I was so impressed.
Yeah. And it just, it looked great. It went with all the other stuff. So now it looks like a very Christmassy room now because it's in the same room as the Christmas tree.
Yes.
Which, you know, pianos have a certain like festiveness to them.
Oh,
on
they
their
absolutely
own.
Do. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I mean, it feels like when you think, or like, even like in movies and TV shows, like whenever you see somebody like playing the piano, it's always like a gathering point, and the holidays are absolutely that.
Yeah,
you know, time for folks to get together.
Yeah, time to get together, play some music, sing some carols or whatever.
Do you think that would ever be a thing? Like, do you think you guys like would ever like host a dinner party and be like, and now Beth is going to play?
I have no idea. I mean, I can imagine her playing. I can't imagine like a crowd of people standing around like singing.
It's like, here, my dear boy.
I know. Like whenever I see that in shows, I'm like, all right, that's a little rich. No one would ever do that.
Right, right. And yet there is something so like magical about watching somebody, you know, play the piano.
Oh,
like I remember when we were, I think in Berkeley.
Yeah.
Through the Griffin Tour, rather, and at the green room had a piano in it, and Isabel, who edits the Pop and Super Carlin Brothers videos, like plays the piano, and so she like sat down and started like, you know, playing this like out of tune piano, and I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah,
like, it is so cool. Just like, you know, you just walk around and can do this.
Like, I know. I remember that exact moment. I was like, that was awesome. It's like, I like Isabel told us that she could like, she'd like, you know, played the piano or took piano lessons growing up. But to me, that was like, yeah, I can play the piano the same way that I can play the trumpet, you know.
Right,
you hand me a trumpet, I can like play some notes and I could read the music and I could make some sounds out of it, you know, better than someone who's never held a trumpet before.
Right, right.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
But like, no, this was just like no music at all. Just like, it's like, oh my God, whoa, that was so cool. And I was just like, when I thought about it, I was like, there has never been a time as an adult when someone like just at random sat down at a piano and can play when it wasn't cool.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, just like, oh, this is like a really cool skill you have. Yes. In like a different way than I would say than like when someone like shows up at the campfire with their guitar. You know what I mean?
It is a little bit different. It is a little bit different.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Y'all, we look and look and look every year for the perfect gift for our loved ones. Like, what do they need? What do they actually use? What is the gift that will keep on giving? Well, look no further than Rosetta Stone. Not only do they provide a lifetime membership of language learning, but learning a new language unlocks entire new regions of the world for fresh exploration and ways to expand your mind, not just through learning, but also through new people and cultures. Rosetta Stone is designed for fast language acquisition. It uses intuitive processes meant to help you pick up language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences, and before you know it, you'll be able to listen and think in a new language. Like, I can't even comprehend that. It's just that sounds awesome. But so if you need a gift idea or a last minute gift, give your family and friends the gift of language. You can get 50% off all 25 languages for a lifetime and no shipping fees. Give the gift that keeps on giving. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Today, Popcorn Culture listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/ today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today for yourself or as a gift that keeps giving.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all, working with your older brother can come with challenges. For one, I constantly have all of these brand new ideas that could change the world, like a podcast called Uneven Diagrams, where we discuss unusual overlapping interests like competitive origami and blindfolded bowling. But oftentimes when you come up with these brilliant ideas, you're met with a kind of, sure, that's the best thing I've ever heard, but where to even start level retort. The nerve of some people. Am I right? The good news is I've learned the ultimate solution to getting your new business endeavor off the ground in no time flat, and that is Shopify. Shopify is seriously a secret weapon for launching a new business or taking your existing business to the next level by unlocking a whole world of potential customers. Shopify actually has this amazing heat map of the globe that shows you everywhere in the world that you currently have an active session. It's no secret. Businesses that want to grow, grow with Shopify. So upgrade your business to get the same checkout that we use with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Again, go to shopify.com/poppop to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/poppop.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But like, it's so interesting to me when people have these talents, because like, it hasn't been just here until recently, like when Wicked came out, that I had ever heard the song like Popular for the first time from the musical Wicked. And like, come to find out that like Alice back like in her pageant days would do like her talent was singing the song Popular.
Oh, that's crazy.
Like on stage. Yeah. And like, so you know, growing up, like her and her sisters and everything were like all like big into like choir and singing and that type of thing. And so like whenever like Alice will very rarely just like belt it, I'm like, whoa,
you can just do that.
I know. It's like, yeah. If I had that in me, I would never, ever, ever, ever shut up. Yeah. Like, you know, and she's so hesitant to do it. Like very like, you know, like self-conscious and like doesn't want to like, you know, just go for it. I'm like, why? It's so cool. Like,
yeah,
you should do that all the time.
You should be doing that.
I know. Yeah. So like, I don't know why. Cause it's even, I feel like it is the case. Like even Isabel, like when she sat down on the piano, it's like, it was almost like, she wasn't going to like sit down like full gusto and just be like,
yeah,
you know, like it's almost like, let me casually like lean over and like put a couple, you know, hands on it. Like,
yeah, there we go.
Yeah, I wish I could think of like something good, to, like a good,
yeah, you know, like piano music, like some classical music to reference, yeah, or yeah, something. Yeah.
Some classical piano scat.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. But like, so I've always thought like, yeah, like, or even like I've been to like piano bars or something, which are like, if you've never been to a dueling piano bar, just like do yourself a favor and go.
It is
always a blast.
A total treat.
It is always, yes, so good. Like those people are crazy talented. But it occurred to me that like, okay. And like, if we have it, at least then, you know, that now, because Beth's always said she wanted to learn how to play and like apparently the keyboard's not good enough. So it's like, well, now you can do it.
Yeah,
now you can do it. Now, you know, if we can do like lessons or, you know, I think people like self-teach themselves on YouTube a lot. And like, very sure enough, like, you know, the kids obviously had to like sit there and bang on the keys for a couple minutes to naturally get it out of their system. You
right,
know,
yeah,
you have to be like, okay, don't do let's not elbow drop the keys, boys. All right. You know, we're not climbing on top of this thing, all that. But then Beth downloaded some like app that was like a, you know, like a learning app. And, you know, like very quickly was just like, you know, hitting the notes and doing the, because like she's very good at reading music.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah
know, from her, yeah, that, tons of that. So it's just like kind of learning the fingerings and the places and stuff like that. So that was cool. But like, I was trying to think like what had changed in my mind that had been like, we should get a piano, you know, because for so long I was like, I just, there's no, like, no, it's going to be a dead treadmill in the corner, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Exactly.
It's just going to be a big, heavy thing that just sits there and no one uses. But I was like, that is really not necessarily true, because like Beth wants to know how to play. And I was kind of like, you know, if I get her a piano, like she's going to like, that's, you know, hey, we got it, you know,
it's not true. Let's go.
Let's do the thing. You know, you may as well. And then like, you know, we have Luke and Nick and Nate, all of whom will have, they would then have the opportunity to know how to play the piano.
Also,
you know,
true.
Like there's, yeah, like, the, you know, I have three shots at someone actually wanting and learning how to play it successfully.
Like having a passion for this.
Yeah. Having
thing.
Like a passion for it, or like, yeah, having a thing, or, you know, even if it's just like Isabel out there where they can just sort of like, oh, if they're at a party, they can just be like, oh, hey, hold on. Yeah, like I can play like seven songs, you know.
Yeah,
I know how to play Jingle Bells, you know, or whatever it is.
Man, I would do it.
I know, yeah, something like that. And none of this has been like, maybe I'll learn how to play the piano.
I was gonna ask you. I'm sitting here, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, yeah, you know who would do this? Like, I mean, or you know who could do it all of a sudden? It's like, I mean, you could be.
I know. It sounds like there's like, even now that we have it, like I like to sit there and like just hit the keys and stuff, but like no part of me is like, I really want to know how to do this.
Right, right.
I know. So I don't know. If I'll be the one. But Beth was, she was playing it a bunch over the weekend, like trying to figure it out, and we've got someone on the way to come help tune it, because there's definitely a few keys where it's like, this one, even I can tell this one.
Right yeah, yeah, so not, does this mean I have perfect pitch?
Wouldn't that be hilarious if you just sort of discovered like in your like 40s that you're like, oh, you have perfect pitch, and you're like, wait, what?
Really?
Me?
No. What?
No. No. Like, wouldn't I have figured it out by now? And I'm like, you'd think.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No.
But no.
But no.
Okay, so what would your thing be? Like, is there anything where if you're at a party, like, and it could be anything. Like, I mean, it could be Pokemon cards, board games, like whatever. But like, it, the type of thing like where you were, like, you could be like, okay, I can really show off right now.
Oh.
Like, what would be your playing the piano in front of everybody if everybody was so inclined to be invested in watching you excel at your thing?
Excel at my thing. I've thought about this in, like, party scenarios before. And if you could set it up, I think I would be really good at like Beat Sabers.
Okay.
In a way.
Yeah. In a way.
In a way that's like, in a way that most people I don't think have played it. And if you set it up, it's super fun to play.
Uh-huh.
But they will, you know, you're not going to be immediately good at it after like three or four songs that you might get to do at like a party situation.
Right.
But me, who's played it a lot, I think could then be like, all right, hey guys, let me just, you know, let me give it a try.
Step aside.
Let
please.
Me just hold on a sec here. And then I think I would be good at it. I think it would be impressive if it was like up on a screen and people could see what I see and stuff, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. They'd be like, dang.
They'd be like, whoa, that's pretty cool.
This guy's so awesome.
Yeah.
I know. I always think that, but really the only talent that I feel like I actually have is just pull-ups.
It's just pull-ups. That's just a pretty good one.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I'm like, or like a set of like monkey bars, maybe, you know, I could probably like, I could wreck some monkey bars. Could
wreck some monkey bars.
Literally right now. So actually even years ago when I had my climbing gym like installed in my attic.
Yeah.
You know, so I had like an old crappy mattress laying on the ground and then like, you know, I don't know, like one big section of wall that was at like a 45 degree angle that would go up and I could climb in my attic. And it was really fun. And while I was doing that, I bought all of the necessary pieces to build a set of monkey bars.
Oh.
So that I could like just mount it next to my rock wall so I could do like ladders up and down.
Oh, nice.
With like a nice hold, you know, because like the rock climbing holds are very like rough and sharp and you'll just get... You know, I mean, if you get used to it, but like it would just cut my hands open and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I was like, nice smooth bars. This would be great. And I never did it. And I've still got like all the equipment to do it. And so like all the time I'm like, should I just go like to my basement now and just like mount it to my ceiling and just have like my own little set of like monkey bars to like, to, like just train on. It's like,
you could.
For what reason? It's like, cause I want to.
Cause you want to. Who's stopping you? I'm an adult. I have a house. I have monkey bars, whatever.
I have monkey bars. So
you know what else is what? Mario Kart.
Oh, Mario Kart.
If that's at a party. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best if people have no idea. And you're just like, oh, mind if I sit in for a round?
You know? It's like, okay. Yeah.
Hold
cracks
on,
knuckles.
Let me see. Hold on. Yeah, like, you mind if I pick the track? Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
Rainbow Road N64, no walls.
Let's go. Hey, it's gonna be fun.
I brag about your N64 skills.
Oh,
you know? Cool. Like, you know, yeah, like, I'll be like, you know, I wish my brother was here because he would totally kick your butt. Things people love to hear. It's like, well, he's not. So
these are the situations I like build a bigger amount of my life around than you would think. That like I'm always hoping that like random one-off skills will come up in public settings.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're like, okay.
Yeah. I'm like, now is the time. This is it. Like, I remember I used to go to like, or well, like we would go to like a life group at church, and I would always kind of feel like. I don't feel like people think I'm like very athletic here for some reason.
Okay.
Like I don't feel like I constantly kind of get the vibe that like what is going on here? Why don't, am I giving something off that makes me not look very athletic to the rest of you? I don't know.
I
ran cross country and did soccer and played a lot of basketball. Like I'm a pretty reasonably fit person who did a lot of sports and stuff, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Like, I don't know what I'm giving off. I don't know if it's the YouTube of it all. If it's like, oh yeah, Jonathan's just like a very nerdy guy, whatever. And it was like, I would like have this like scenario. I'm like, I don't know when it would ever come up, but if there was ever a situation where I was like, let's just go like run 100 meters or something, I feel like I would surprise them.
You know what it's on.
Yeah, it's on. I'd be like, you know, I would love for that situation to arise. And then literally that one night there was like that same exact group of guys was like that I think this is the beer mile arose.
The spawn point the for spawn this point. Year's famous beer mile.
Exactly. And it was like, let's just, you know, then, you know, it turned into like a relay race between everybody down there. And I was like, well, here we go. The time has come.
I know. Yeah. I mean, it is really like a kind of like interesting thing though, because I feel like I've been going through this in my life where there are like certain things that I think were available to me as, I mean, I don't even know if available to me is the right thing, but like just aspects of our parents that like, I'm like, well, I have to learn how to do that so that like someday I can do the same thing like for my kids.
Yeah.
But like dad can like whistle really loud.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was always really nice because like whenever you did like sporting events or whatever, if like you scored a goal or made a basket, like you could hear dad like whistling through all the noise. Mm-hmm. And so like I have like for years always, I mean, and it's like, I can't say that I've like been diligently like attempting to learn how to do this or anything, but I'm like at some point in time, like Addie's getting bigger. Like I'm going to need to,
you're going to have to figure this out.
I have to figure out like my whistle because how else will she know that I saw her score that goal?
Right. Exactly. You
know? And so hang on, let's see if I can
make it. Oh, you're going
to
do it?
Yeah, hang on. So I've been working on it. I have to do like the two fingers on the roof of the mouth. Like, Jay's
yeah, I'm taking my headphones off now. Hold a sec. Hey.
It's getting there. So I've been doing it like every time I go out my yard to like try to like whistle my dogs back in.
Nice.
And it's like, I'm like, I have to know. Like, she can't go and play sports and me not know how to whistle loudly for her.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I put like a lot of pressure on myself about it. I'm like, this needs to happen.
I got to figure this out.
Yeah. She can't go out for activities until I can properly cheer for her.
That's funny. I do know the feeling though. Oh, you know what's another one that I can do is I can spin a basketball on my finger.
Yes, you can. Yeah. Yes, you can. Like no one's business.
Yeah, like way better than most people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not like Globetrotter level, but like below that.
Below that. Think about a professional basketball performer.
Yeah.
80% of that.
80%. 80%. Which I was watching during the Olympics, they were doing like a USA or Team USA like photo shoot or something, and they had like a little like, can you spin a ball on your finger? Like they went up to everyone, and like not everyone could do it.
Really,
I was like, if you're in the NBA, you can absolutely do this. Like, of course, you've been around basketball enough that like you've put some effort into learning how.
Yes,
like certainly all of you can do it, and like not all of them could. I was shocked.
Okay, I'm not gonna lie. That's another one though that makes me feel mildly better because I cannot ride a bicycle without having at least one hand on the handlebars.
Oh.
And I've ridden my bike a lot.
Yeah.
And like whenever I watch like any like Tour de France, anything like that, or like even like dad, like, you know, can just like ride the bike, you know, no problem.
Yeah.
No hands on the handlebars. I can't do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what would ever happen if the day came where I like won a race and I had to like put one arm in the air like a jabroni?
Mm. Ugh. Man.
But maybe it's more okay than I thought.
Yeah.
Also, I'm nowhere near winning a race.
This is a skill that I feel like I lost because at one point I used to, when we were kids, we like the way our house was, we were on a hill and there was like a big downhill section, then a flat section. That's where our house was. And then another downhill section.
Yep.
And I would ride my bike to the top of the hill and I would turn around and I would just coast down with my hands on my knees. And I could steer, I could maneuver. I could just do it.
Yeah.
I had it on lock and like now can't do it. Don't know what happened.
What?
I know. Like I completely lost it.
You lost the name of no hands.
I know. I lost the name of no hands. I had it. I understood it in entire.
Yeah.
And now, nope, I don't have it anymore. But that's okay. That's okay.
Meanwhile, though, the one thing that you were talking about last week was that like Luke, for his birthday, that you got him a pogo stick.
Yeah.
And when we were kids growing up, we had a pogo stick. And I was scrolling through old home video for a video last week. And in doing so, I stumbled across the scent of time where we were really into pogoing.
Of course.
And how we could like... No hands.
We could no hands it.
The pogo stick. Yeah. So we could at least do that.
We can do that.
No, we weren't completely worthless.
No, not at all. Yeah, we could no hand that pogo stick, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good right? times.
Then it's just spring feet, you know?
Spring feet.
Yeah. Spring feet on Spring Street.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That was the name of our street.
That was the name of our street, yeah. Oh, man. That was funny. Do you remember when John got those like pogo stick boot things?
Oh my gosh. I completely forgot about these until you mentioned it, but they were like I don't even know what they look like anymore now that I really think about it, but they were, I feel like you could see videos of people using them.
Yeah.
And the people that were using them in the videos had clearly already mastered like doing like flips and stuff with them. And then, but what they are is these like huge leg extenders, almost like stilts that have like some spring action built into them.
I would almost describe them as stilts first.
Maybe a little bit. Yeah, yeah. But like you could also get like a good bounce going. But like the problem was it was almost like standing on like 2-3 foot tall like stools and then like bouncing around. So like if you fell, you were falling from minimum 3 feet higher than you normally were.
Yeah.
So the idea of like doing anything once you were up there was kind of intimidating.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember like all, like it was just like once he got them, I was like, well, we'll definitely do like backflips and stuff.
Obviously.
Right? Like, that's just like what comes next. Just standing, darn near impossible.
Very difficult. Yeah. Dude, stilts is something I feel like I could get into.
Stilting.
Yeah.
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was in college, there was this guy who was in the engineer. I guess, I don't know, maybe it was engineering, maybe it was just art. I don't even know. But he was a stilt walker, and he would make these awesome stilt-related costumes.
Yes.
One was called the Iron Hokey, and basically, like, it looked like a giant robot, like, hokey bird.
Yeah.
And he would walk around outside of Lane Stadium before the games, and he'd have this, like, big helmet and this cool costume on. And like it was so, and like I remember seeing it thinking like, oh my gosh, like the engineers here. And it was like, and then I tracked him down because one of my assignments was to like do a story on like a fellow student or something.
Right.
And I found him and I interviewed him, and it was like, there was nothing engineering about it at all. It's all just like smoke and mirrors. It's just like, it's all just art supplies, you know? And he's just walking on stilts. That was the whole thing. There was nothing robotic or technological about it at all.
That's so cool.
I
know. Though.
I loved it. So I was like, but I remember we also had a pair of stilts growing up. Like,
did we?
They were like not like tall stilts. They were maybe got you like 7 inches off the ground.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I think they had like handles on them, so you could like hold them in place and kind of walk around. But I was like, it felt like, okay, I can get the hang of this.
Okay.
And then, oh, I remember, yeah, meeting that guy being like, boy, it would be scary to walk around up there, but it feels doable. It feels doable, you know, although, boy, you fall off those. You're going down. You're like 6 feet up or something. You know, they are really tall stilts.
It's like, it doesn't seem that intimidating until give it like a little bit of proper thought. And you're like, ooh, man.
I know. I'm like, I'm going to break my wrist. That's going to happen.
The only thing keeping me up here is my own balance.
Is my own balance. Yeah, I know. But it does seem fun.
That does seem like a lot of fun. Stilts. All right, I mean, I could be talked into it.
Yeah, you could stilt.
We're stilt guys.
We're stilt guys, man.
The stilt brothers.
Just like on the way, we do YouTube, and then on the weekends, we just go to festivals and walk around on stilts.
Walk around on stilts, yeah. Take pictures. It's
super
great.
Fun. We're like Godzilla and Megatron. It's cool.
Awesome.
Exactly. That's the battle we all want, by the way. Godzilla versus Megatron. You know?
That's the one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Why not, right?
Yeah, we'll work on that.
Yeah.
Dibs on Megatron.
Okay, yeah, fine. Do you know what? When you think of Godzilla, do you think Godzilla is male or female?
I don't know that I ever really thought about male.
Male? Okay.
Is Godzilla female?
When we were growing up, there was a version of Godzilla. The version of Godzilla that came out, Godzilla was female because the ending was that, like, oh, the eggs are hatching or whatever.
Oh.
Yeah. And so, like, in my mind, I was just like, oh, I got it. Cool. Godzilla's female. And, like, every other iteration of Godzilla is male.
Oh.
And it always throws me off. Like, and it does not matter. Because it's just, either way, just giant lizard. But people will be like, yeah, and then Godzilla, he shows up. And I'm like, she. But, yeah.
Oh man,
yeah,
that's funny. Yeah, no, I don't think I've encountered this. Godzilla is like another one of those popular forms of media that I feel like I've had just far too limited exposure to for how pervasive it really is. Like, it's like, I mean, you don't go 5 years without there being a new one.
Oh yeah, I mean, and it's like people just like Godzilla.
Yeah,
you know, just giant. I mean, this is what is the word for like the giant monster genre? There's like a, this is going to drive me crazy.
Oh, no.
I might have to hold, please.
Okay, hold, please.
Hold, please. Kaiju.
Okay.
That's what it's called.
Okay.
That is like, that's the genre it is. And it's like, America mostly knows about Godzilla, but then there's like the whole realm of Godzilla-related, like, associated monsters that go with Godzilla, the other kaiju. But then there's just like, that's just like the Godzilla sect of it, and it's probably like the most popular section. But then kaiju is just a general genre. It's just like its own whole own thing.
Okay.
You know, which like Power Rangers probably falls under, because like every episode, no matter what version of Power Rangers you're watching, goes like, human-sized rangers defeat the human-sized monster, and then whoever the big bad is, no matter what, will have a way to make the monster giant.
Okay.
Because then the rangers got to be like, time to call the Zords, and then they have giant monster fight where the Zords fight a kaiju, and that's it. That's the dragon flute. Yes. Very good.
Thanks.
I always love the dragon flute because the Green Ranger would hold the flute up to his mask and play it through the mask.
Why not? Why do the masks have lips?
Yeah, I know, right?
Some of them did, at least.
They think they mostly did, at least on the Mighty Morphin era.
Okay. Well, those are the ones I'm most familiar with.
Yeah, those are by far the most popular ones.
Do you think that the lips are imprints of themselves, or do they all just have like the same lip shape?
I think they just all have the same lip shape. Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, I know.
Odd choice. But
most
okay.
especially because whenever you see the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers that we watched as kids in uniform fighting monsters, those are not the actors at all. They're not even filmed in America. That is footage from the Japanese show that has been put into the American show. Which is why, also, fun fact about the Dragon Zord, anytime the Dragon Zord showed up, they had like 7 clips of the Dragon Zord, and they would just kind of keep using them over and over.
No way.
Yeah, like you rarely saw like new Dragon Zord footage.
Darn it.
I know. It would like do a zoom in and be like, rah! And then it would like show you the tail spinning, and then it would cut to the monster with like sparks flying off. Right? But like, would you see the tail hit the monster? No.
Dang it.
I know.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Limited production value strikes again.
If any popular franchise has suffered more from limited funds in making their show, it is Power Rangers.
Okay. Despite the fact that it's like such a well-known brand.
I know. And like more modern Rangers are like indeed filmed like here and stuff. And
okay.
Yeah. Things like that. But yeah, like when we were growing up, that's how they did it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
All right, Jay, I have a question. Not to transition, you know, like 56 minutes into our episode or anything.
Yeah, well,
like
it's fine. But, you know. Do it.
Okay. So you have a phrase here in the show notes that says, in all caps, Mom almost scammed me.
Oh.
And I'm like, this doesn't sound like Mom at all.
I mean, it's deliberately worded poorly, but here's what happened.
Okay, lay it on me.
Okay, because I'm sure we've all had experiences like this. I was laying in bed over the weekend. Me and Beth were up there just discussing Christmas gifts or something.
Okay.
And I'm playing on my phone, and all of a sudden I get a text at the top of my phone from my bank that says, here's your one-time login code. Like, if you weren't the one requesting this, call us now, you know?
Oh, no.
And I'm like, had I just gotten that and I was like at work, I'd be like, oh, it's probably just Beth trying to log in from wherever she's at. But I'm like looking over and like Beth's not even holding her phone. And I'm like, well, if you're not logging in,
then who's logging in?
I'm not logging in. And I'm like, well, this is like, and like, because even to get to the point where you have to put in the code, you had to have had the password already. This is step 2.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and everyone here in the office knows that I've got like a password manager that just does, you know, wackadoodle passwords.
Right.
And I'm like, that feels impossible. Like, no. Like, how? How?
Nobody guessed that password.
Nobody guessed that, but nonetheless, but I'm looking through it, and then, because then my next thought is like, well, maybe the text itself is the scam, you know?
Oh, sure.
It's like, oh, there's a problem. Like, you've got a package waiting for you at this UPS facility. Give us a call and give us your credit card information and we'll get it back to, you know, whatever
it is. I hate that one, especially this time of year where there's so many things going on.
Yeah.
Don't fall for that one.
Yeah. But then I open the text and like, sure enough, I've got like this same message like 20 other times from whenever I've logged into my bank account.
Sure.
You know, it's like, here's your code. And I'm like, okay. So this is definitely legit, like from the bank. So I'm like, and I am not trying to log in, and Beth's not trying to log in. So, okay, bad news.
someone's trying to log in.
Oh, and now I'm having the worst day of my life, you know?
Oh, gosh.
You know, now I'm like, oh, you know, like you just said that, like, dropping feeling in your stomach, like, oh, no. Like, fortunately, obviously, they send you the text. Exactly. So this is the problem. Because, like, clearly, whoever it is doesn't get this text. And, you know, they should get stuck here.
Right.
If the system is working. So I call the number and, you know, they're, you know, you go through the process and you're on the phone and they're like, even as I'm doing this, I'm like, is this the scam? Is this the part of it? You know, I'm like, you know, because what a brilliant scam that would be if you could just get your number to appear as if it's from the bank or something.
Right.
But then you're in there and they're like, sure, like, you know, help us connect to your account. Give us the last four digits of your social security number and your ATM pin. And you're like, I'm like, well, if this is part of the scam, this is the moment, isn't it?
That I really can't do those parts.
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, I'm just like freaking out. I'm like, because it just seems so unlikely that this is happening.
I know.
Like, how could someone have had the password? How could someone, like, you know, how could the, and so, you know, I'm like, you know, like I went through enough like voice, you know, press one for this, plus two for this, you know,
right.
Stuff like that. I'm like, and it came from the bank, and like, sure enough, it was indeed like a message from the bank or whatever. And, you know, I'm going through, and you'd think that if you dial the number from the text, it would just bring you straight to, are you worried about fraud? But no, you still have to go through like seven menus, which is frustrating when you're afraid that it's fraud.
I know.
And
yeah,
you
yeah.
feel like it might be seconds before someone's like, transfer funds.
Right.
You
right,
know?
Right. Yes. We don't have time.
We don't have, I don't have time to wait to your stupid voice commands here, bank. And then I'm talking to somebody and they're kind of running through the different transactions. I'm like, no, that was me. And then they list a website that I have recently purchased something from, but I'm I was like, that was today. And they're like, that was today. And I was like, I bought something from them, but like 4 days ago or something.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm pretty sure it was like for $20 more than that. So now I'm like, you know, going through my email and like, sure enough, like I'm freaking out then, cause I'm like, oh boy, like that's uncomfortable.
Right.
Like I did that 4 days ago, but that's not today. And sure enough, I had an email that's like, this website, there's been a change to your charge. It's actually this much cheaper because of reasons.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh great. And it's that exact amount. So it's like, clearly I bought it and it processed today.
Right.
So
right,
that, right. Then I was like, okay. So nothing. Okay. Good. Sounds like the two-step verification process worked. That's great. Either way, someone has the first step. So I'm going to go downstairs. I went through the whole process of changing the password. I clear it out and I'm like, okay, good. Whew, we're good. We're set. We saved it. Whatever it was. No problem.
Nobody can get me now.
No one can get me. Well, like 15 minutes later, I got another text and I'm like, oh my gosh,
no,
what is going on? And then like 1 minute after that, I got a text from mom and she's like, hey, I'm trying to log into the bank account. Can you send me the code? And I'm like, and I'm like, why is mom trying to log into my bank account? I didn't even know she could do that.
Right.
I'm like, that's weird. And so I call her and she's not, she's trying to log in to like the business account, but apparently it's the same phone number as associated with mine.
I see.
And this is what's been happening the whole time.
Wow.
Yeah, but she didn't call me the first time. So I went through this whole process. And it was just mom. So.
Wow.
It's okay. She was just, you know, doing regular business maintenance things, looking out for us. Giving me a panic attack in the meantime.
The hilarious thing is I got a text from mom over the weekend with no context that was like, can you send me the code?
Yeah.
So I think she thought that she was asking the person whose number it would be attached to.
Oh, yes. That's exactly what it is. She's like, oh, I texted Ben earlier. So she must have texted you the first time thinking you got the code. But in fact, I got the code.
I'm sorry about that.
It's okay.
It sounds like a stressful adventure.
I know. Because you're just like, I'm in the middle of my very peaceful, you know, Sunday afternoon. And all of a sudden, you know, maybe I'm being robbed.
Crisis strikes.
Crisis. So yeah, I'm like, this is going to be a really bad afternoon all of a sudden.
It's so funny though, because I feel like it's like we are very conditioned like with things like that, or really just about any situation where anybody's ever asking for like your PIN or social security number. It's like, no, mm-hmm. I don't. It's like, I'm pretty sure this is a bank and I'm sitting inside of it and like you're like leather chair right now and everything. And it's like, it doesn't feel suspicious, but what if it is? And what if I will look back on this and think like, well, you were an idiot for giving it up because you didn't have to or something.
This is like, I know what you mean though. Like stuff like mobile deposits and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
Like I can do it, but I don't like doing it.
Right. It feels like something's
going to work. I'm going to do it. And then like, what if it doesn't work? Or what if I check and it hasn't gone in yet? And I'm going to keep checking over and over. Like, you know, am I going to feel uncomfortable? I just want to go in, hand the check to the person and be like, it's done right now. Done.
I know, but you know, the thing is like, it kind of reminds me of like going and like buying like a car or something where it's like, if you go up and the car salesman's like, hey, we can throw in some free car mats. It's like, ooh, I don't know about that. And they're like, what do you mean? It's like, you don't want the free car mats. And it's like, I'm being taken advantage of. I can tell.
Right.
Like, you know, it's it's like, no, we have them. Do you want the free car mats? It's like, I don't think so. You can keep them. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like,
wouldn't they just come with the car?
Why wouldn't they just come with the car?
You're not throwing them in. They just come with the car. We're not.
Right, I know. Yeah, yeah. It's like we've all grown to be like way too suspicious. And I think it's probably funny because I don't think that this will be the case. Like, I know like during like the Dust Bowl, it was like not an uncommon thing to like turn all of your like cups or bowls upside down in your cabinets because dust was everywhere. And so it was like, you didn't want the dust to settle inside of those things. So you just store them upside down. And then now to this day, plenty of people still store their dishes that way because it's like a remnant of that time. But I feel like we have lived through the advent of the internet where like predatory practices and scamming and like security that's not as strong as it needed to be or like whatever. It's like all of these like schemes, I suspect with a certain amount of like time and encryption and, you know, technological development and stuff like that will be like less of like an everyday problem. But like, I bet that like our generation of people will always like maintain these concerns.
Yeah.
Because like we'll have always lived through it. Like, I mean, I remember in like the earliest days, like when I got like my first debit card, like whenever I ordered anything off of the internet, it like back then, it like, especially like 2-day shipping, like was not a thing. So it was like, you know, you'd buy it and then it would take like 10 to 15 days for it to get there. And those whole 10 to 15 days, you'd just sit there in like a state of panic. Like, I got robbed. I got robbed.
Yeah.
You know, like
someone tricked me into buying a thing that doesn't exist.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's never coming.
Yeah, it's never coming.
Yeah,
and then it would.
And then it would. And you're like, oh, okay, the something store is real.
The something store.
I don't think it's real anymore. But that was, I think that this was an example of it where there was a company for a little while that you would pay $10 and they would send you something.
Yeah.
And it could be anything. I'm sure we've talked about it before.
I think we have. But the idea was that like maybe you'd get something worth like $300 or $400.
Yeah. So it's like once every, like, I don't know, a few hundred shipments, they would send you like an iPod. And then every other time they would send you like a water bottle or a pashmina.
A pashmina is what you got.
Is what I got, like a gold pashmina. Like, okay.
All right. Not useful.
But honestly, kind of a great business model because like when it finally did arrive, it was so fun. And I still talk about it like 20 years later. So
I know. Yeah. So there you go.
Even getting
something you didn't want was like, it was so funny.
It was like, ha-ha.
What you did get. Yeah.
Now I have something.
There you go.
There you go. Okay. Well, I feel like we've made it. We've made it to the end.
We've made it?
I think so.
All right.
As per always, guys, don't forget that vinyl record for Q4 for the Patreon quarterly merch is being recorded. It is being pressed into a vinyl shaped record, and it'll be an exclusive episode of the Pop that you can only listen to in this one particular way. If you want to check it out, it's patreon.com/popcornculture. Or if you have any feedback for the show, you can send it over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. But otherwise, until next time,
pop pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Super Carlin Brothers is sponsored by Nude. Y'all, of course, know about my podcasting and YouTube endeavors, and you may even know that I do some aquarium maintenance at times, but you may not be aware that my wife, Alice, and I also own a business together called Nude. I know it's a funny name, but there's actually a fun story behind it. See, Alice has always had a deep love for clothing and fashion, but even more so for thrifting. It was her way to sustainably and economically expand her wardrobe while still aiming for quality brands that would last. And she is really good at it. Like, I can't tell you the number of times over the years that she has been stopped by people admiring her finds. So much so that she coined a phrase for her response. Thanks, it's nude. As in new, but in the past tense, because it's not exactly new, it's nude. So, we took this concept and created a storefront not 100 yards from where Super Carlin Brothers was created and have an online shop featuring pre-loved clothing from brands like Lululemon, Free People, Anthropologie, Madewell, and so many more. If you'd like to check it out for yourself to ring in the nude year, if you will, you can do so at nudesalem.com and use promo code SUPER to get 20% off your entire order. That's NEWDSalem.com, promo code SUPER for 20% off.